Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 169 of the Competitive Erotic Fanfiction Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Cook, and you've found the internet's number one most trusted source for Muppet boners and horny loners. Upcoming shows include tomorrow, September 18th at the Virgil here in Los Angeles. That's a free show at 7:30. September 30th at Big Hunt in Washington, D.C. That is $10. You can get your tickets online. But today's show was recorded May 18th, 2016 at the Virgil. This is round two, featuring Emily Heller, Zach Sherwin, Dave Waite, and Brooke Van Poppelen reading pieces they wrote based upon audience suggestions. First, you hear them draw topics. Then we'll fast forward into the future to hear the finished pieces. Enjoy.
All right, Zach, if I could get those suggestions, and please welcome your round two competitors who'll be writing based upon your suggestions. Emily Heller, Brooke Van Poppelen, Dave Waite, and Zach Sherwin, ladies and gentlemen. Keep it going all the way to the mic for these competitors, Zach. Need you, buddy. Need you, I need those. You've had so much time to write those. Holy God. All right. Who are we missing? Just Zach. All right, thanks. One more time for Zach. Collecting. Let's start with Emily. Clap for Emily Heller. Right up to the mic, Emily. Here's how this part works. If Emily likes the first suggestion, she can take it and run with it. If she doesn't like it, I'll draw a second one, and then you guys get to vote on which one she has to write. Emily, your first suggestion is... Amazing. Your first suggestion is bones.
I'll take it. I put that in.
All right, Emily Heller. Keep it going for Zach Sherwin.
Do you guys watch Bones? Okay, good.
Zach Sherwin, ladies and gentlemen. Clap your hands. Get right on that mic, buddy. Get right on that mic. Get in there. Get right in there. We want to hear your reaction to Pacific Rim.
Ooh.
The name writes itself. Emily, you can go start writing. You
don't there goes my closer, if that's what it winds up being.
Sorry.
I always like to hear a second choice.
You gotta get up pretty early in the morning to add the word job after rim before old Brian Cook.
Pacific job. I'll hear a second one and let the audience vote. Though I could do Pacific Rim, just to let you guys know.
All right, your second option is Bernie Sanders. So with your applause, who wants to hear Pacific Rim? Who wants to hear Bernie Sanders? Oh, Bernie Sanders it is. Sorry, Zach Sherwin, keep it going. Keep it going for Brooke Van Poppelen. She is Googling rim job right now. Fucking Emily, it's Bones again. Brooke, your first option is G.I. Joe.
Yeah?
You're going with it?
Yeah.
She's going with it. Clap your hands for Brooke Van Poppelen. Finally, Mr. Dave Waite. Keep it going for Dave Waite.
Hey, let's go. Oh, man.
Your first option is Mary Poppins.
I don't want to do that.
I happen to know you're going to hear that one later anyway. The 1992 presidential election. So, by applause, who wants to hear Mary Poppins?
Yeah.
Who wants Dave to go Google the 1992 presidential election? There it is, Dave Waite, 1992 presidential election. Big round of applause for Dave Waite.
I think that's you, I think it's
me. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a competitor. Give it up for Emily Heller. Oh, she's gotta come down those stairs. You guys are gonna have to clap more than that. Keep it going for Emily Heller, or she'll be pissed. She'll be pissed at you.
All right, as you remember, I got bones.
Bones.
Who here likes bones? Does anyone actually watch Bones? You can admit it.
I've seen it.
You've seen it? A bunch of times? You've been on it?
Is that true?
Yes.
Have you really been on Bones?
You were actually on Bones?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Wait, before I read this, what?
Nothing big.
Were you, what did you do?
It's like some kind of CSI thing, whatever.
Oh shit! Were they cool?
Yeah, that's fantastic. That was a good truck and whatnot.
Okay.
Good people.
Cool. They're about to do some bad things, though. All right. Forensic anthropologist Dr. Temperance Brennan was working late. Her name was Temperance, but everyone called her Bones because her job was to look at bones and be like, yeah, somebody murdered the skeleton for sure. It's just as well. Temperance didn't make sense as a name considering how horny she was. How much she wished someone would throw her a bone. I don't know if you guys have ever seen this show, but it's really bad. Anyway, as usual, she was looking at a pretty gross skeleton covered in guts and stuff that some kids had found on a playground. Weirdly, no one had barfed. She wanted to know who the skeleton belonged to, because that was her job. So she called in forensics expert Angela Montenegro to help reconstruct the face of the skeleton. What do you need, Bones? She said. Well, Angela, what I really need is a good porking. But I'm pretty sure you can't do that for me, so instead I guess I'll just settle for you figuring out who this body belongs to. I have like two of his face bones. The top one and also one tooth. Can you help me? Angela looked at the tooth bone and the top of the head bone. I'm just gonna sit on this. She looked at the tooth bone and the top of head bone. Yeah, Bones, I can tell you exactly who this is. Let me just put them both into this implausibly complicated Minority Report computer that we have, because Lord knows the FBI has a shit ton of money for cold cases. Angela put them on the table, and instantly the computer somehow was able to show a reconstruction of the face. It was Lance Dong, local fuck machine. The papers had reported him missing after the last White House orgy. Someone must have fucked him to death. God damn it, Angela, Bones said. I was hoping that focusing on work would make me less horny, but you only made me the most horny. Angela said, we should notify his family immediately so they can come identify these disgusting bones. That's not something they actually do on this show, but logically, I mean, just go along with it. They called Lance Dong's brother, Paul, to let him know that Lance was dead. Paul said, I'll be there right away. Paul showed up and saw the gross skeleton and was like, yep, those are his bones. What? Said Bones. And he said, I said, those are his bones. She said, oh, I got confused because my name is Bones. I thought you were talking to me. You mean you couldn't figure it out in the context that I was talking about the bones in front of me? Isn't that a constant problem? No, she replied. Anyway, he went on, it was in my brother's will that if he died, whoever does the facial reconstruction simulation has to use one of his bones to fuck a lady with. Wait a minute, said Angela. Wouldn't that be defiling a corpse? No, he said. I want to be very, very clear about this. It will not be defiling a corpse because it's what he asked for. Well then, said Angela, maybe we can solve one problem with another, eh, Bones? In no time at all, the three of them had gotten naked. Angela had taken a leg bone from the skeleton and cleaned it up real good. She had Bones lie down on a table that's usually meant for a corpse. She spread her legs and Angela took the leg bone and stuck it in and out of Bones' already wet pussy. Paul Dong stood nearby, working on his own bone. Yes, Angela, yes, fuck me with the dong bone. Wait, said Angela, this is a leg bone, it's not a dong bone. Yeah, but his last name was Dong. I know it's not a dong bone. Dongs don't have bones. Oh God, I'm coming. Wow, Bones said. That really hit the spot. The G-spot, that is. What about me, Angela said. I'm so horny now, but the will only said for you to get boned, not me. Well, Paul said, I've got a living will that says I can fuck you right now. Oh shit, I'm coming. Just then he came, which really disappointed Angela. Just then, FBI Special Agent Booth, who was also Bones' husband, burst in to see how they were doing with solving the bone crime. Wait a minute, he said. Are you fucking the bones? I mean, I know your name is Bones, but this is ridiculous. Bones said, Booth, I'm sorry I cheated on you with this skeleton, but please fuck Angela and we'll be even. Booth said, you're lucky I'm hard already because I'm hard all the time. Booth fucked Booth fucked Angela while staring Bones in her cold dead eyes. Just as he did, he noticed nearby Lance Dong's skeleton started to tremble on the bone table. It rose from its deathly slumber and started to dance a dance of sex. David Boreanaz bolted up in bed, sweating. I just had a terrible dream that I was on a show called Bones that was not only bad, but it was on for 11 seasons. The calming hand of Kelsey Grammer stroked David's heaving chest. Oh, David, that was no dream. You are trapped like I was trapped on Frasier for 11 seasons, but I will soothe you now by sucking your dick.
Thank you.
Emily Heller. Thanks, Emily.
You're welcome.
Who else is ready? We got Zach Sherwin. Zach Sherwin, ladies and gentlemen. Clap your hands for Zach. Sorry that mic's low for you. It's going to get in there and fix the people right there.
All good.
Cool.
And so, Bernie Sanders concluded his stump speech. I'm going to forsake the accent right there, just so we can get through this a little bit more cleanly. Now I'll do this first line with it. Here we go. And so, Bernie Sanders concluded his stump speech, it is time to bring an end to the disastrous and illegal behavior on Wall Street. He let the crowd's ovation wash over him, and then he turned and left the podium and got into a car waiting to take him to the airport. Shall we press on to Stockton or Sacramento, your next scheduled campaign stops, according to Google, said the pilot when Sanders arrived on the plane. Change of plans, Sanders said. Take me to Manhattan. Yes, sir, said the pilot. He didn't hear Sanders mutter to himself, I need to get fucked. When the plane landed, a car took Sanders straight to his destination. He stepped out of the vehicle, tipped the driver a frugal amount, and looked at his surroundings, the skyscrapers towering around him, the famous bull statue, the street sign that said, Wall. That's right, he was on Wall Street, the belly of the beast. Sanders took the elevator up to a penthouse suite floor. An erection was already straining his suit pants as he had taken a Viagra approximately 1 hour before in anticipation of this very moment. He stepped off the elevator and entered a conference room. There they sat, waiting for him, the heads of the biggest banks in Manhattan. Jamie Dimon of J.P. Morgan Chase, Michael Corbett of Citigroup, Lloyd Blankfein of Goldman Sachs, and James Gorman of Morgan Stanley.
I'm here, Sanders said. I've been campaigning too long without a break. And though I'm fighting as hard as I can, I have needs too. Nothing's more arousing than the forbidden, than taboos. So what could turn my crank more than being fucked by the heads of the financial institutions that are fucking America?
Sanders pulled down his pants and lubed up his asshole using Invade Deep Fisting Cream, the top result when you Google best anal lube. Dimon stepped up first. He mounted Sanders and slid in balls deep. Jesus, Dimon said. Everyone knows that the average donation to your campaign is $27, but I'm not sure I'll last 27 pumps in this tight hole. What am I going to say to that no to that impulse when I'm running away frantically upstairs, you guys? And indeed, at 26 pumps, Sanders' asshole clenched so tight that Dimon erupted inside him. Corbett stepped up next and slid his bat into Sanders' core. How's that for a Corbett? The financier said, in case anyone in the crowd didn't get it. He began fucking away. Bull market, he'd say as he slid in, and bear market as he pulled out. He blew a load in Sanders' ass, stuck his pointer finger inside, and sucked off some of what he extracted. Forget an index fund. That's an index fund
That's index fun, he said. Sanders groaned, but not because the pun was bad. It was because Blankfein had stuck his pole deep inside him. Blankfein gave Sanders the business, literally, and pulled out and came all over the senator's ass and tramp stamp. God damn, Sanders said, looking back over his shoulder and surveying the carnage. I've never seen so much cream, and I'm the senator from Vermont. Finally, it was Gorman's turn. He fucked Sanders' ass, and then they switched it up and Sanders fucked him. More like the New York Cock Exchange, Diamond said, stroking his cock up for a second go. You're fucking me so hard you're going to rearrange my guts, Gorman said as Sanders pounded away. Sanders gasped, yeah, rearrange them. Just like if you rearrange the letters in Gorman, it spells Morgan, as in Morgan Stanley, the bank of which you're the CEO. Everyone paused to appreciate how awesome that was, even if it had nothing to do with sex. Sanders let load after load wash over his face, like the ovation he had received that washed over him at the beginning of this story. That was foreshadowing. I'm bringing it back for you guys. Eventually, the powerful men and the man who aspired to be the most powerful in the country had tired themselves out. God, that's hot and transgressive, Sanders said. I love getting fucked by Wall Street. You guys have redefined Bernie Bros. One question about that, Blankfein said. You've been married to a woman for decades. By every indication, you're a heterosexual, but we're all men. Are you gay or bi? No, Sanders said. You're right. I'm totally straight. And I'd love to be fucking a woman right now. Unfortunately, no woman has ever been CEO at one of the 22 largest U.S. investment banks or financial firms. Thank you, guys. I'm Zach Sherwin.
Zach Sherwin, ladies and gentlemen. Who else have we got? Round two. Ah, Dave Waite. Clap your hands for Dave.
Can I get another beer?
Yep.
Tecate?
Yeah, they're right over there at the bar.
Can I get it right now?
Could you read your story?
All right, my fault. I was just stalling because I'm not as confident as everybody else. It's good to see you, man.
Likewise.
Hey, there we go. See, we made it happen. Look at that. Magic. All right.
Did you bring one for me, too?
Yeah. See, look at that.
Tip your bartender, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, there we go. Cheers. I had the 1992 presidential election. All right.
Shit.
In 1992, something happened for Bill Clinton. He reached a crossroads. He had realized he had fucked every six in Arkansas. And he sat in the governor's mansion. He laughed that Bill Clinton laugh, and he lit up a Winston Light cigarette. I haven't smoked in a week, so there's going to be a lot of smoking in my... And just like the Grinch, the light bulb went off and his bone expanded three times the normal size of the Bill Clinton bone you would think of. Because he realized the thought of running for president, he could tour the country under the guise of wanting to be the president just so he could expose his dick to Waffle House waitresses in Waterloo, Iowa. And he'd be able to finger fat farm girls in New Hampshire. The plan was perfect when suddenly a cold gust of wind ripped through the air and his cigarette went out and he yelled out, pantsuit! Because at that moment he realized he had a wife and then she appeared and he was like, oh shit. So at that moment he struck an accord with his wife and was like, hey, I'll help you become president in 2 decades if you let me fuck every 5 and 6 throughout America for the next 30 years. It was very clever, I believe. George Bush Sr. You didn't have to say that back then because nobody knew who the other George Bush was. You would just say George Bush, but now you got to say it, you know. George Bush Sr. nervously smoked a Virginia Slim cigarette on the end of the bed. Sure, it was a woman's cigarette, but tonight he was a bitch because it was the monthly night that Barbara demanded that presidential dick. Sometimes she called it the Air Force One. George had to think really hard and try to remember, did my wife always look like a man? Then she breathed heavily on his neck and said, let me see that cock, she demanded. Yeah, jeez. This really exposes my... I'm surprised I've gotten this far in life. Ross Perot was a troll person that loved to jerk off to Japanese porn, even though they blurred out the dicks in those type of porns, and that frustrated him to no end. Why couldn't he see their yellow cocks, he wanted to know. And that's why he was secretly running for president, so he could set up a trade agreement to unleash those cocks. But if the 1992 election taught us anything, it's that a hillbilly with a dream and a real big hard-on could lead us to great economic growth and weird sex acts in the White House. USA.
Dave Lane. And your final competitor, Brooke Van Poppelen.
Thanks, everybody. Everyone was so eager to go. I was like, I'll take an extra minute back there. After a crushing defeat by Cobra Commander and his henchmen, due to all of the Joes being distracted by their iPhones, Mainframe decided that all the Joes should really try and reconnect and take a weekend to attend an adult sleepaway camp with no technology allowed. After a lot of griping and protest, everyone agreed and boarded a bus to Fresno, having to hand over their iPhones, Kindles, and laptops to Sergeant Slaughter, who gave everyone a slap on their taut asses as they climbed the bus stairs. This is gonna suck balls not being connected to the internet, Bazooka loudly proclaimed, while slowly doing curls with a 10-pound weight while wearing a mesh tank top, his perfect biceps and triceps quivering and straining as they grew tighter and bigger with every rep. What are we even gonna do for a whole weekend? Loud murmurs of agreement erupted from all over the bus. Snowjob pensively looked out the window at the passing countryside. He looked around at his fellow Joes, Crazy Legs, Lady J, Deep Six, Footloose, Jinx, and Blowtorch. Everyone was attractive in an offbeat yet sexually compelling manner, and without a doubt in perfect peak physical condition. Dangerous, sexy heroes. Snowjob was sitting across from one bus seat behind Scarlet. He hadn't taken the time to notice how delicate Scarlet's features were before. Soft lips with a perfect Cupid's bow, dark hair that she was wearing down for once. Had he really been that absorbed in his iPhone to even notice how stunning she was? She too was clearly frustrated by the lack of social media and gadgets, and was tersely sharpening a stick with her tactical knife. With each violent thrust of the blade, her perfect, soft, but muscular tits bounced up and down. She had started working up a sweat because the air conditioning hadn't been reaching the back of the bus. He watched a drop roll down her alabaster complexion, continue down her sculpted jawline, and travel down her neck at the top of her deep camo V-neck, and joined the growing dampness her sweat and cleavage was creating. Thrust, bounce, sweat. Thrust, bounce, sweat. Snowjob was transfixed by the rhythm of Scarlet's raw, frustrated sexuality. He had become addicted to watching porn on his phone for the past 2 years. The more twisted, the better. It had helped him get through some of his roughest patches of PTSD. But he had to give it a rest after his bunkmate, Torpedo, filed a formal complaint from the furious masturbating and crying. And he asked to room with Skidmark instead, which was a real wake-up call. The dude's name was Skidmark, for fuck's sake. Snowjob knew he had to change his way, but without his phone, the social anxiety was getting the best of him, you know? So he stared at Scarlett longer than he should have. He was in a seat alone in the back of the bus. Almost unconsciously, his hand moved from his knee to his thigh and was resting dangerously close to his throbbing, yearning meat. The temptation was making it hard to breathe. He started to panic and hear the sounds of bombs, and he felt phantom pain of shrapnel and the maniacal laugh of Cobra Commander as he sped away in that fucking tank of his. The air on the bus was thick and the panic overwhelming. If he could just release and come so hard until his eyes rolled back in his head, the world would be peaceful again. He'd reset and be able to focus on the fact that he was going to spend a weekend making crafts and doing trust falls with his friends and comrades. But his hand still hovered. His trigger finger, his sharpshooting finger, lightly grazed his erect head that was pressing so tightly against the coarse fabric of his army-issued pants. He was breathing heavily and staring a hole through the back of Scarlett's head. It was like she could sense the pervasive sexual energy caressing her muscular shoulder, like the cool sensation of someone blowing on her nipples. She suddenly felt a chill, felt aroused, and looked over her shoulder. Her eyes met Snowjob's, and she paused from carving the stick. When she realized he'd been studying the entirety of her body, specifically the parts that were designed for sucking and fucking, she started carving again harder than ever while she locked eyes and held his gaze. Snowjob knew he was caught but couldn't look away. Scarlett's unrelenting gaze said, "Go ahead, start playing with your massive American killing machine cock." And so he did. He started stroking slowly at first over the pants. He knew this wasn't gonna end well, so he decided to open his zipper just a smidge and let the beast out of the cage. Scarlett saw this and started carving the stick harder, making each cut with the blade look and feel like a sensual stroke of his giant manhood. Snowjob couldn't take it anymore and fully revealed himself to her and masturbated himself to a climax he never knew possible. He knew it was wrong. He knew he would get caught and reprimanded, maybe even demoted, but he didn't fucking care. The desire reached a fever pitch he had never tasted and finally exploded into his hand, trying to remain under control as Scarlett put down the knife to fully absorb the power her sexuality had over him. She licked her lips, stared for another moment, and turned back around to face forward. Snowjob fell back into the bus seat, breathless and covered in his man juice. The world made sense again. He came harder from the sheer idea of touching a living, breathing woman than he had from any internet porn he had ever watched. Maybe there was something to this whole taking break from a technology and social media. They weren't even halfway to the campground. It was gonna be a good weekend. Thanks.
Brooke Van Poppelen. Brooke, you can stay right here. Let's get everybody from round two back to the stage. Clap your hands for your round two competitors once again. Hey, gang. All right, once again, I'm going to remind you of what everybody read, and then momentarily you'll be voting on a winner. We started with Emily Heller with Bones, then Zach Sherwin with Bernie Sanders, Dave Waite with the 1992 presidential election, and Brooke Van Poppelen with G.I. Joe. Pick a fucking winner. Starting with Emily Heller, Bones. Zach Sherwin, Bernie Sanders. Dave Waite, the 1992 presidential election. And Brooke Van Poppelen, G.I. Joe. That's real close, but I think that's Dave Waite with the 1992 presidential election. One more time for all of your round two competitors, all of your round one competitors.
That does it for round two. To hear round one from this show, you can go back and download episode 168. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and rate us on iTunes. It's a big help, as are positive comments. And for more details on upcoming shows, you can follow me on Twitter at Brian Cooking or the show at CE Fanfic. See you next time.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.